All right, the sermon's entitled Drink at Home, which comes from verse 15. I actually first preached this sermon about 10 years ago in my old church, and I kind of dusted it off and rewrote most of it, but 10 years ago, I wrote it as Be Drunk at Home. From verse 20, or actually verse 19, which was, I think he had to be enraptured, but it's probably more literally translated, be intoxicated always in her love, which, but it might be misleading if I just put that one up on the internet, so I'm 10 years older than I was 10 years ago. So, we have been going through Proverbs, and in this series called Rules for Life, we had rule number one, the foundation of any wisdom. If you're going to be wise in the world, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, in that everything that God is revealed to us is the beginning. Learning from God is the only way to be wise. Secondly, we learned that God blesses those who keep his commands. If you want to live a life that is free from a lot of harms, not guaranteed, because of course there's a lot of things, you know, Jesus didn't always have an easy life, but if you want to live in God's blessing, follow God's ways. Last week, or it was 2 weeks ago, because we weren't here last week, we learned rule number three, which is keep your heart, don't follow it. And in there, we learned that our hearts, our desires, are not just something that we're born with, but something that is developed through our character in what we take in with our eyes, in what we listen to with our ears. Our character is shaped by what we take in, and our hearts are shaped in such a way that our desires can be changed to be more like God's desires. Now, these three kind of ideas, God, fear the Lord, beginning of wisdom, God blesses those who keep his commands, keep your heart, don't follow it, are kind of like the foundation, the base things. And from here, we get to really kind of practical things, practical warnings to avoid or to do things that will keep your life free from many troubles and to live in God's blessing. Now, the first one we get to is about sexual temptation. Because many sins in life have the ability to harm us, but sexual temptation has a unique ability to throw things way off the rails very quickly. Because it speaks to one of the most sacred things. We talk about sex being sacred, because it is the symbol and sign of the marriage covenant given between a husband and a wife to take in private together. And so it is sacred in that, and blessed by God. And when we go astray from that, we defame God and we defame how things were supposed to be. I can think of, you know, this is probably about 17 years ago, my wife and I led a small group for couples. And there was one couple there. It was actually the wife who just wanted to dabble in immorality. And, you know, it blew up her marriage. And still today, it's kind of misery and hopelessness as you just look. You know, chasing the thing that's immediately gratifying, but ultimately destructive. Oh, yeah. All right, let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would just guide us here as we look into these issues, that you would give us wisdom, that you would teach us how to keep our hearts in this area, and that as a church, we would uphold purity and marriage in the grace of the gospel as you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, First, two interpretive notes on this passage, and this is important because sometimes preachers just talk and we don't like see how we get here or why we say certain things. So the first is it appropriate to take the advice specifically given to the son or the man, the male in this proverb, and apply it to women as well, giving some due reasoning to the differences between the sex? Now Proverbs is almost entirely addressed my son. And it's all advice very specific to a male perspective. And so is it right for me to like extrapolate this to like try to teach daughters? Now for me, this is a key thing. I have four daughters and they're all coming of age. And should I be warning them about unscrupulous men just as much as this text warns the son about unscrupulous woman? And I'm going to say yes. Yes, it is. And now for the basic reason is that although it's addressed to a son, and for good reason, because this is Solomon speaking to his son, Rehoboam, giving him wisdom on how to lead, but it's addressed to everyone, all sons, and ultimately the son of David that will fulfill all the commands is Jesus Christ, who is the personification of wisdom. But yet we see the women are called to be wise too. Proverbs 1:8, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. And so women are called to be wise. And so I think it's appropriate with some due understanding that, you know, men and women have some differences, and in this area, probably a little bit more particularly than in general, I think it's appropriate to apply this to women as well. Now, secondly, just sort of looking at this text, is it speaks a lot about adultery or adulterers. And is it right to apply this advice more generally to sexual immorality? So adultery is sexual union that breaks the marriage bond. Sexual immorality is sexual union outside the marriage bond. Now, in the day that this is written to, most people were married by the time they were 16 to 18, maybe even a little younger sometimes. And so there wasn't a lot of sexual immorality. It was just kind of hard because, you know, everybody was married pretty much. And in our day, we find ourselves with a very different situation where a lot of people don't get married till very late. I think the average age for a man to get married now is like 30 or something, which is, man, that seems so, so old. I was like 23. I don't know how people, this is 30. That seems crazy to me. But anyways. Now, as we read this text, it doesn't just say adulterer. It says the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, or you could translate it strange or foreign woman. And I think it just refers to a woman other than your wife, an other woman, a foreigner. And for this reason, I think it's, considering the cultural differences, I think it's right to see this as sexual union outside of marriage, not just sexual union that breaks the covenant of marriage. All right, so that's okay. Those are the two interpretive notes. We're going to apply it to men and women, and we're going to think of sexual immorality in general, not just adultery specifically. Okay, getting into this text, why do we have such a problem with sex? Now, there are lots of wonderful things in the world. I was just at Kenosi, and there's like this little peak there, and saying, just looking around, like, it's a beautiful thing. And it's like, love to look at that scenery. It's an awesome thing. And then I'm just sort of like, huh. It's like, you know, I've done that for the year. I don't need to go do it again. But sexual things, like, people go up and they look at the hill, and then the next day they want to do it again and do it again and do it again. Like, it's just like this kind of bottomless pit of pleasure seeking in a way that other activities are not. Now, it's the reason why we have such a problem with this is because sexual union, even illicit sexual union, has pleasures which The Father here knows very well. This is why he said, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. You flip the genders too on that too. It's like, you know, the lips of a forbidden man are like honey. Maybe that doesn't quite work, but speech smoother than oil. And I like here, it's not just like the sexual attraction part. It's also like the lips are smoother than oil. It's flattering. It's flattering to be drawn in by someone. And I don't know if anyone ever been in a bad relationship before, but you know, what people sometimes get, you know, you just get flattered and pumped up, which is you're drawn to this in different ways. Proverbs 7 gives almost a fuller picture where a woman meets a man at twilight. Proverbs 7:13, she seizes him and kisses him. It's aggressive. And with a bold face, she says to him, verse 16, I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. The Father, like, approaches this in a kind of a weird way. Like, I'm talking to my daughters about things. I'm just like, well, stay far away from all the men. They're awful and terrible. Yeah. Boys, take note. But no, he starts out saying, look, no, there is actually kinds of pleasures here. Like there is a thing that feels really good. So he's very honest about this, not like trying to hide anything here. Very open, even like explicit. If you want to read a couple double entendres into Proverbs, it's probably there. But along with this, he tells you, you know, the woman or the world, and this is so true today, is going to present a certain picture of sexuality. And in some ways, it's right, like there's a kind of pleasure there that feels so good, and yet you have to see the whole picture. You have to consider more than the orgasmic moment. Don't take the bait, because it's like rat poison, which I suppose is delicious to rats. Proverbs 5, 4 to 6, they love it. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. You can say that for a man too. Beware, in the end, bitter as wormwood may look so good for a taste. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. All her ways wander, and she does not know it. In the end, she's enamel. Dangerous. Glossy in her makeup, in her airbrushed pictures. Flashing through Instagram or the beaches. Promises of sexual pleasure at your beck and desire, but her smooth lips cut like a two-edged sword. You can't hold it. Her feet are going to death. And this is a warning to any who would use their sexuality as a lure, as a bait, instead of clothing themselves in humility and righteousness as is proper to do. This life is a march towards the grave. Beauty will fade, and the real important things in life will pass by. She does not know the ways of life. Literally, it says all her ways stagger, and there's like a play on words here, stagger, because stagger is like kind of like, it's like drunk all her ways. And later on, it's going to talk about to be drunk with your wife's love, and we're going to look at that later. It's a cool little word picture. Now, Solomon's first strategy telling people is to think about following this woman is following to your own death. She's a honey trap. You fly in, but you cannot fly out. Now, to avoid this, Solomon is going to give his son three bits of advice in avoiding sexual temptation. Three advice. Number one is stay far away. Far away. Number two, count the real cost. And number three, get married and get busy. Stay far, far away. Sometimes I like write things and I'm like, should I really say that? And you guys don't know all the things I don't say. And now, O sons, verse 7. And now, O sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. It says, cause yourself to be far from her. Like, don't go wandering down the wrong streets, into the wrong bar, into the wrong corner of the internet. Because if you do, trouble will ensue, because those lips are smooth. Don't go near. There's this commonly talked about passage in the Odyssey where Odysseus, he's the great, you know, Greek hero, and he is on this ship, and they're about to pass by the island where the sirens are. And the sirens, they call it, and they have this beautiful song, and they lure the sailors in. If you don't know it from the Homer, you might know it from DuckTales. And they lure the sailors in, and the sailors, you know, go, they follow the song, and then they get eaten. Now, it's a great parable of sexual temptation. Now, Odysseus, he, like, kind of... So what the sailors do, standard procedure, block your ears. Put cotton balls in your ears, can't hear the song, you fly through. But Odysseus wants to hear the song. And so he has his sailors tie him to the mast. They tie him to the mast so he can listen to the song. And so then as he's going by, he is begging for the sailors to untie him. It's like, don't listen to the song. Don't put temptation to the test. Stay far away. Tie yourself to the post and block your ears. Like, don't go there. You know, if your phone is too much of a temptation, you can pull out your phone and you can smash it with a hammer. I was considering smashing a phone with a hammer, but I was like, I might spray glass everywhere. It would have been cool. Sorry, guys. Again, 10 years ago, I did such things. Before, you know, litigation and all that stuff. Lawyers ruin everything. Like I once knew a man. He was in my church. And he had a serious problem with gambling. And you know what he did? He signed over all of his bank accounts to his wife. He gave every single penny to her. He only got what he needed in cash for what he needed that day. Because he said, I didn't use money responsibly. In the same way, like, we need to consider, like, what does it mean to stay far away in the age of the smartphone, in the age of dating apps? Like, tie yourself to the post and block your ears. Like, don't go near the door. Stay far away. And if it's like a temptation at work, like, you can quit your job, but you can't follow that road because, as we said, that road is death, death, death. Better to be alive and jobless. All right, so stay far, far away. Warning two, count the cost. Verse 9, lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. At the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. When we think about that, like you talk about, like, what does someone do with a prostitute? They buy a prostitute. And they think in some way like they're consuming them. But illicit sexual things you don't just consume them, they consume you as well. And I still remember this, man. I used to read meters, and I worked on like gas meters, and I'd go down into people's houses, and there was this old guy, and just like kind of overweight, kind of life was hard, and he just like in this basement just like stacks of pornography, and here he was like literally consumed by all this stuff, alone, broken at the end of everything. These things destroy and they slowly eat away at us. Count the cost. There's no strings attached hookups. Like, there's always strings attached to your heart. There is no free porn on the internet. Like, going so, like, the cost of, like, you know, human trafficking and production and just the terrible meat grinder of it all. But it's not free for anyone, because what we consume consumes us if it's not in God's plan. What consume consumes us. These things always lead to death. And that's why we always have to take it seriously. Because if we want to avoid the end for which these things are created by Satan, to death, we need to stay far, far away. So stay far, far away, count the cost. And finally, like on a like positive note, which is like I desperately need a positive note here. Get married and rejoice with your wife. I gotta find different euphemisms here. Drink water from your own cistern. Oh, it provides the euphemisms for me. This is how the Bible works. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. That is like, drink from your old well, cool and clean as it is, as God created it to be. Don't go drinking in the sewer in the streets. That's a picture, if you did miss it. Married, sexual life thing. Okay, got it. Excellent. Should your springs... Now the picture picks your springs. Be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets. Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. No, streams are for your wife, not just for anyone walking down the streets. Rejoice in your wife. And this is such a I love it when the Bible tells you to do something that's like pleasurable in itself. It's like, rejoice in the wife of your youth. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Notice it says the wife of your youth, not your young wife. This is the one that you grew up with. The one that you loved when you were poor and had nothing. The one that you raised children with, hopefully if God blessed you with children. And this is practical advice for every husband and every wife. It's like intensely practical, is to like rejoice in your spouse. And the reason why it's a command and not just like, you're going to rejoice in yourself. No, it's a command because this is something that we have to work at every day. Like if you're somebody who needs a checklist, like checklist, okay, have I appreciated my wife enough today? And if not, like start at it. Like we need to be so far away from the husbands and wives who just sort of like, just go through life and saying, no, you need to work at rejoicing. Husband, it is your job to rejoice in your wife. Wife, it is your job to, maybe not in the same way, like rejoicing in the physique of your husband, but to respect and honor him. Verse 19, it goes on. A lovely deer, a graceful doe. Now in biblical times, they love to like use pictures of like female beauty as like animals. And men, I have found in my life, like this does not always transfer very well. So if you're like going out and being like, I'm gonna listen to the pastor's advice and like find a wife, because that's kind of where this is leading if you're not married. Sorry, if you're not married, this doesn't apply this part, but I'll get there. Don't like stay away from the animal metaphors. It just doesn't work as well as you think it would. A lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Now, it's probably just broader than breasts, but the picture is like husbands, like to delight yourself in your wife's beauty. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, that's easy for you, Pastor, because you've got a young, beautiful wife, but like I'm a little older now. It's like... Here's the secret, guys, all of us. It's your job for your wife to be the most beautiful. Now, the value of a thing is in the lengths for which it is appreciated. Like gold is just a hunk of rock until somebody pays something for it. And for you, day by day, the appreciation of it. And even the thing about like attraction, and we think of attraction like, oh, you're just like attracted like this. But attraction is like built up in weird ways, and like brain science can like show this by the things that we look at and give our attention to in positive and appreciative ways, we develop attractions to. Now, if you spend all of your time flipping through scantily clad women on Instagram, like that's going to rob from your appreciation for your wife and who she is. Okay? So don't do that. Like really. We need to be appreciators of our wives in such a way, and the wives, same thing, husbands, appreciate the husbands, okay. In that way, that we can say, let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. And it's like sort of like it's the same word, stagger, like the woman, her way stagger, but you're supposed to be almost like tipsy. You're supposed to be like drunk, in love with your wife all the time. Now that might be annoying to the people around you, but that's what the Bible says, okay? See kids, every time you're like, oh, why do you have to do that? It's in the Bible. As much as a parachute saves a man falling from a plane, if you are feeling like you are on the edge, overcome with temptation, and this is the thing, to redirect your mind. Redirect your mind to your wife. Let your wife's beauty be the parachute to protect you from the death. Why be intoxicated with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? Why do it when you can drink pure water at home? Okay, That was all, what if I'm single? Okay, advice number one, if you're single and you can get married, okay? Get married, enjoy your wife. Get married, yeah. That's advice, okay? That's like literally like part of the advice here. Now for some people marriage maybe isn't going to be an option. Maybe God's not calling. God calls people to singleness. That's fine. And in there, Christ is going to have to be all of that for you. There's a reason why Christ is like we're all supposed to look to Christ in a way like our wives can't fulfill everything, even though we're supposed to appreciate them. So all of us need to appreciate Christ, but single people especially, it's like intent of turning to your wife. Like if you don't have a wife or don't have a husband, like you're going to especially have to lean on Christ in every moment to be the fullness for everything, to be your all in all the time. Okay. Now, there's one thing about being on this side of the sexual revolution in 2023, is that in a world of internet pornography and historical dramas that I may have gone to see, I'm looking at you, Oppenheimer, if it didn't have nudity and sex, like really, Hollywood, like are you even trying to take my money at this point? Like really, Hollywood, get on, come on. Because we live in a world that's been so broken in these ways, almost all of us here are not only sinners, but sexual sinners, or at least have that potential. Every new day, they create new categories of sexual sin. And enticement is only as far away as our phones. So in this world, we need to do three things, okay? Three things in closing. One, we need to remember always the sweetness of the gospel. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? The prodigal son, what did he do? He took his father's money. He ignored his father's advice. He went and he spent it all in the house of prostitutes and gambling. This is literally, this is the guy, this is the John out there consuming women. And this is the one that the father runs to and brings him back to his house, the one who squandered it on prostitutes. Jesus Christ came to die for the prostitute and the John, for sexual sinners of every sort, that God calls out and says, turn and come to me. There is healing and forgiveness. Don't let shame keep you away. There is hope for you. And so if that's you today, if you wave, just far away, you know, maybe you're here, but you're only partially here. It's like, remember the sweetness of the gospel. There is forgiveness for you, no matter what you have done. Don't ever think like, man, like I'm the only one in the world. Like there's a lot. Secondly, in Christ, we are called to be new creations. That God sends his spirit to make us new, to give us hope to live in freedom and not in slavery. We've been forgiven so that we can live in the Father's house. And we've been given multiple ways to make war on the lust that's killing us. Number one, stay far, far away. Tie yourself to the post and block your ears. Like, be like, remember Joseph in Potiphar's house, and the wife was like, lie with me, the master's away. What did he do? She grabbed hold of his cloak and he just ran. He ran buck naked out into the courtyard. He just ran And this is like, you say, don't just sit there, run away. Secondly, remember the cost. Remember the cost, and it's ultimately death. Those sirens there, they eat people, okay? The song's beautiful, but the cost is pretty steep. And three, get married. A marriage is not an antidote for lust. Like don't think of it as that. But a wife is the proper outlet for sexual energy and attention. Attention. And that's not only when your wife is with you, like if your spouse is far away, like the battle here, Jesus said, you know, if you think anything's extreme, Jesus said, you know, it's better for you to gouge out your eye than to look at a woman with lust. Better to gouge out your eye, because so much of the war is inside our ears. And if you're going to fight that war, you're going to fight it with attention in your mind to the beauty of your wife and not to the so-called beauty of the world. And finally, I think my last kind of plea is just to, like, it's hard to talk about things like this. Like, even a sermon like this, it's hard to, like, talk about because it's so easy to kind of be crass about things or make jokes about what is truly, like, sex is sacred and we want to maintain it as sacred. But here is a place, because of the gospel, where you can step out into the light. Like, if you are struggling in this area, like, there is light to step into. This actually touches on something in my story, which I don't think I've shared, like, totally here, that as I was into my later teenage years, I really developed kind of a debilitating addiction to pornography, like just terrible. And it was just me. I was alone. Nobody else knew, never talked about it. And it wasn't until I was in college, kind of like, I remember just sort of laying on the dorm room floor when I just like was prompted, like, hey, reach out. And I just like reach out, hey, Josh, I need to talk to you about something. Stepped out, talked with him. And like, it was like a, like, immense change in my life, not like still a long road, as the war against lust is like really lifelong. Like, you can be 90 and screw this up. So older people looking at you too. But bringing it into the light was the first step to freedom. And so don't live in the darkness. There's light, there is renewal in the gospel, and there is freedom for everyone who would walk in the way of Christ. Let's pray.